We've been talking about faith and heroes of faith. God, we recognize you're the author and the finisher. I ask you, and I ask you today here in this room, I ask you, God, that you would put it's a substance, and I pray that we would walk out of here, that faith comes by hearing, hearing by your word. I pray that each person who's here would walk out of here with a greater substance to be those people of faith you've called us to be, and to walk out their plan and what that means to them personally in their life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's so many different parts of faith, and we've been talking about that. And, you know, we talked about the first week, Abel's faith. He had this sacrificial giving faith. And then last week, we talked about Enoch had God-pleasing faith, and Noah had family legacy faith. Today, we're going to look at Abraham and Sarah. We're coming out of verse 8, Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Can you guys start my clock? It helps me not to go too long. Thank you. I'm still going to go over, but don't worry. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. There was a promise, and you guys have promises. So I want you to engage in this and don't just disconnect like, oh, that's him and this is me. For He waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promise. Now, I want to start this out with just trying to like do a tie-in, because a lot of times we read biblical characters and we disconnect. And we go, you know, that was Father Abraham. You guys know the song, Father Abraham. Okay, that's the goofy side. But, you know, we talk about Father Abraham. Everyone's like, Father Abraham, Abraham, whoa. He's a big dog. He made Hebrews 11, Abraham. Awesome. But, you know, Abe was not always obedient, Abe. Hello, somebody. This pastor, if you talk to my family, was not always walking in obedience and in love. My brothers and sisters hated me because I bugged the tar out of all of them. So I just say there was a lot of leadership locked up inside of me is all I say. Moving right along. People change. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God. Don't do that. Don't do that. Especially if you're married to him. That's messed up. I'm causing trouble. I'm sorry. A little boy came out of there. I don't know where it came from. Abe was not always obedient Abe. And his definitely was not nicknamed Honest Abe. Like Lincoln. Hello, somebody. Genesis 20, verses 1 and 2. Abraham journeyed from there to the south, and he dwelt between Kadesh and Shur. And it says in verse 2, Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech, the king, he takes her and he took Sarah. Come on, he brings Sarah into his harem. It's like, give me a break, Abe. And this wasn't the first time. I mean, you look at this. This is what happened. Look at verse 20. First of all, God comes to Abimelech in a dream, and he says, indeed, you're a dead man. I mean, when God tells you you're a dead man, whoa, his eyes were open. I mean, he was in a dream, but I mean, he had this dream. It rocked his life. He wakes up, and he's like, you're a dead man because the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. And Abimelech's coming back, you know, in the dream, like, hey, I didn't know, blah, blah, blah. So he does all this stuff. Well, this isn't the first time. 25 years earlier, we can see in Genesis 12, you go back, and it came to pass, in Genesis 12, it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt, he said to Sarah's wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beauty. It's like he's telling his wife, you're beautiful, so let's lie. Verse 12, therefore it happened when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. They will kill me, but they're going to let you live. So just say you're my sister, so it'll be well with me for your sake that I may live because of you. Okay, can I just say something? We had 10 kids in our family, and each kid is different. And some kids, you know, are different. And like my wife is totally different. And my wife, it's like she couldn't tell a lie if you paid her to. She can't even tell a joke, sorry, but she laughs before the punchline because everything with Teresa is right there on her sleeve. There's no like timing of waiting like that. You know, like, and some kids, they couldn't lie if you paid them because it's in them. They can't do that. And some of them, it comes kind of too natural. You know, you're like, I know the fallen nature, but it's like, you're good at that. You got skill set. We got to like lose that. And so everyone has a different thing, but everyone has a strength and everyone has a weakness. Hello? And everyone has a bent towards a sin, and we need to recognize that. We all have strengths and weaknesses. Abraham had his as well. I mean, that's not even mentioned in Ishmael, and that whole thing was a mess. But God uses imperfect people to carry out and to carry the presence of a perfect God. God uses imperfect people for a perfect plan. So we need to get past our, who's here that's willing to get past our imperfections? To do the great exploits. I'm talking about you get over yourself and your imperfections. And when you start focusing on your spouse's imperfections, you're in trouble. That's another whole sermon on marriage. We're moving on. So what do we do? Where do we start? Where do we go? What is step one, right? People want to know where to go. Step one. How about step 1111? How about Hebrews 11:11? And in Hebrews 11:11, it says, you know, 1111, hello. By faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. You have seed. You have vision. You have dreams. You have passion. You have all these things locked up inside you. You have creativity and inventions, and you have glory, and you have destiny. You have all these things. But she received strength to conceive seed. There's seeds and there's stuff in our DNA. When we're created, we have gifts from the Father. Then there's gifts from the Son. There's gifts from the Holy Spirit. We have all this stuff. But she received strength to conceive seed and to bear the child and to birth the promise and to birth your dreams and to birth all these things because she judged him faithful who had promised. That's 1111. Let's just judge him faithful. Because the devil's always telling you, you're not faithful, you're not faithful, you're not faithful. You know, without people stepping out in faith in this world, the world's in trouble. And the lie of the devil that he'll tell all of us, if we had to go around the room and it's like, you know, some kids have their hearts broken because they're like, Mom said, I'm the favorite. All the kids said, Mom said, you're my favorite. And it's like, I thought I was the only one she said that to. It's like, you're all my favorites. Well, can I tell you something? The devil's telling all of us that God can't use you. And when we start talking, we're like, he said that to you too? Because I thought for sure you have giftings and I just see the glory in you and you're excellent at this. And he's looking around going, well, you know, and Emily, she's great at this, but like, I'm not great at that. And so God, we're always looking going, I know God will use you guys, but like the devil says, but he can't use you. Are you here? But when we all figure out it's the same lie, then we can discard it and just say, that's just a lie from the pit of hell. Doesn't it just sound better when you say the pit of hell instead of just hell? I don't know what that is. It's like the pit of despair. I don't know. It's just cool. It's like, I don't know. Anyway, so I throw that in for a little dramatics. But hey, Jesus is shouting, who can I send? Who will go for me? Jesus was proclaiming the harvest is ripe. The fields are white. People don't want Jesus. 93, 86. That statistic is going to change. If you got breath and you're not going to heaven, they're ready to receive Jesus. We the harvest is ripe and Jesus is calling. Who will go? Who will go for me? And Abraham just said, I'll go. I'll go. And so today we're going to look at Sarah and Abraham. And I believe there's something for each of us to take home as we just walk out this in our lives. So number one, Abraham, it's actually number four on there because I tried to do this several weeks ago. And I'm really going to get to four and five now after 3 weeks. Here we go. Number four, Abraham had active, obedient faith. He had active and obedient faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place. You say, well, I'm not called out. Okay, what does it say in Matthew? What's the Great Commission? 1, 2, 3. Okay, let's just stop there. Go into all the world. Just to start there. God says, go into all the world. Say, I will go. I will go. Okay, God said it. You already responded. Let's just settle it. We all get to go. I'm not called. Yeah, you are. Great Commission. We're all called to go. We just have to define the go. We just have to define what's the go look like. That's it. We're all called. We all get to settle that. Abraham obeyed when he was called. We're all called. We're all called to go. We're all called to play in the game. We're all called onto the field. We all have a place. Abraham just stepped out in obedience. Abraham went out. And you say, well, Abraham went out. So like, I'm supposed to go out somewhere. I'm supposed to go to a foreign country. A small percentage of people will be called to a foreign country. They'll serve as missionaries, or maybe they'll spend their life there. But like, we're all called to go somewhere. We're all called to go out. Where is that go? What is the go? Let's define the go. Let's figure out, what is that? You know, can I just start where Abraham started? Can we just go there? Where was Abraham when he was called to come out? Abraham was in a godless surrounding. His parents, they were not Christians. They were not, well, obviously it's Old Testament, but they didn't serve God. They had a bunch of idols. He was surrounded with idolatry. His grandpa, there's some messed up stuff there. Look at it. You're like, well, I had a bad life. I was raised here. It's like, read your Bible. God likes to take underdogs and just like, man, make them heroes. Can we start there? Abraham was surrounded with idolatry. What is idolatry? Let's just break it down. What's idolatry? Idolatry is anything you put in first position over God. God gets first place in our lives. Anything that takes first place over God, it's an idol. Anything can become an idol. Sports can become an idol. Hobby, work, play. Your spouse can become an idol. Anything you put above God is an idol. God doesn't like to be second place. He likes first place. Anything you put above it, it's going to get rocked. I like Abraham. Abraham, I love that story. I told this before, though. Abraham worked in his dad's, one of the legends say that he worked in his dad's idol shop, and they had all these idols. So he knocked the heads off all the idols, and, you know, because they brought this meat for the idol. And then his dad comes in, and he's like, what happened? He's like, they all fought over who gets the meat and knocked each other's heads off. Love Abraham. And Abraham, legend says, and Abraham's like, and his dad's like, they're just wood and stone. They can't fight over it. He says, so be it as under your mouth. They're just wood and stone. Abraham was looking for God. He was looking for more. He didn't want a dead religion. He didn't want idolatry. And his dad followed him in his faith. He heard God. And he went out, and his dad went with him. We need to change the world. We need to change the surroundings. Abraham came out from his family. That means I'm supposed to leave my family? No, you're supposed to leave idolatry. And if that's what's there, then so be it. But just get it. The first thing, what Abraham went out from was distractions. Why don't we start there? See a video, someone's on their cell phone and they fall into a fountain. Little distracted. I'm watching physically right here on the off-ramp, San Mark, Twin Oaks, on-ramp. Someone's texting, and I'm watching it happen, and they go, and a car hits them, not bad, and they're looking at the car, and I'm like, you were on your cell phone texting. You were totally distracted walking across the street with vehicles that can hurt you. And I watch this thing take place, and I'm like, hello, how about we just get rid of distractions? How about we go out from distractions and just start like Abraham and put God first? And anything where God's not first, let's just deal with it. That's a good place to start. So we have a playing field we can start at instead of going, am I supposed to be called to, you know, to India? I'm called to Africa. I'm called to Asia. I'm called to... How about we are called out of distractions and idols first? Let's just start there. It's a good place to start. Abraham, oh my goodness, Abraham, he had active faith, active obedient faith. When I think of a New Testament character, who had active obedient faith that took steps, that took risks? Peter's a good one. He took steps. He took risks. Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on water. Pretty awesome, huh? He took risks. He stepped out. We need to take risks, step out. We need to take them, and we need to take those risks. And I love that story of Peter when he's on the roof and he gets a vision. And you know, people are like, well, so what? He went and rocked at Cornelius' house. He rocked the Gentiles. There was 8 years in between that time. 8 years. And then God has to give him a vision and confirm it and send people and then go over before the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit was released on them. It's like 8 years. And then the church, it's like God had to allow persecution to hit the church for decades before they really dispersed and changed the world. Because through the persecution, it spread the gospel. And even when they got conquered, God used the invasions to spread the gospel into places and to establish it. That's a whole nother sermon. But just saying, we need to step out and take risks. We need to step out just like Peter accepted and stepped out and then he in faith. And what if he would have sunk? Well, he did partway because he took his eyes off God, and that's a good lesson on not having idols. Forget about the peer pressure of the crew in the boat. Just follow God. Back to Abraham, not knowing where he was going. He stepped out. Abraham, he acted in faith. And that looks different. It looks unique to each of us. So we all have to figure out what that is. We're in the process, some of us, of discovering what stepping out is. And that's a good thing. But so let me do something that we all have in common. One thing we all have in common is we all can activate our faith with our speech. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit, say same spirit of faith. We all have the same spirit of faith, so we have that in common. According to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. Why don't we agree? Why don't we find what we agree upon and let's move on that? And so look at the differences. How about let's find out what we agree on and let's move forward with what we agree on. And that's one thing we can all do to build that in our lives is to activate our faith with our speech. We can make those declarations. We can declare. We need to constantly like look. And if you look through the Bible, almost all the miracles, I don't think there's any miracles that happen through petitions. They happen through commands. So we need to make declarations as well, and it's through our speech, but we can start to set up our speech already. If we're driving to work going, man, I hate this job and these people, and God, you did this and this, you're going to walk in there hating that job and those people. Because you set up your faith level with your speech. Instead of going, God, you need to rock these people with salvation. I declare health and healing and salvation in this place. I pray somebody gets saved, change and shift the atmosphere. Something's going to change. I'm going in here, man, these people, I'm going through this terrible thing. Oh my goodness, I have financial lack. Man, I'm in a spot for a miracle. You're probably going to manifest a miracle. I'm probably going to find money on the ground. I'm going to call it in and declare finances come into me. Blessing comes to my household. Man, these people are messed up. No, how about God? We're in a perfect place for a miracle today. We're set up for you to show off. So show off. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return void, but it'll accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing in which I sent it. We need to declare it. Well, God spoke it, but I haven't seen it. So what? So you're going to let your disappointments distort the word of God? Disappointment and despair doesn't get to, and even hope deferred doesn't get to distort the word of God if you continue to speak with your mouth what God says. So with our mouth, we get to strengthen our faith with our mouth. Well, I need someone to lay hands on me. There's 66, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all lined up every day waiting to lay some faith on you. Speak it. Epistles are in there. There's come on, good stuff waiting for you. Declare it. And as you speak it, it releases faith. And that substance will come on you. Yeah, meetings are awesome. Laying hands are awesome. But faith you can get all the time, every day, and it's always right there. Next one is our faith is strengthened by each act of obedience. By faith, Abraham obeyed. You know, you go, well, like, he obeyed. If I see this, if you, like, turn the sky, like, you know, if you turn the sky, like totally, like green with stripes, I'll obey. It's like, really? Come on. How about we just act on the word? How about we're looking? How about by faith we do to the best of our knowledge what we know we're called to do? He went out not knowing where he's going. I don't know exactly where I'm going. It's like, really? Well, I'd like to go witnessing if I knew exactly. You're going to the mall, but what are we going to do? I don't know. I can't go unless I know exactly what we're doing. That's the adventure. Step out and go on the adventure. Seriously, we're training this trip, and they're saying, what are we going to do? I just said, you know what? Honestly, guys, we go to a nation. We figure out what their needs are, but the trip shifts according to the need in the nation. So I can tell you everything what I think is going to happen, but really you have to be ready for the adventure because it can shift all the time. So I'll tell you with the best of my knowledge, when we get there, it shifts and then we roll with it. But we don't know always where we're going, and that's okay. That's good. And God will move. We need to obey even if we don't feel confident in ourselves. Because when we don't feel confident in ourselves, that's not a bad place to be. John the Baptist said, I want to decrease so he can increase. Apostle Paul said, it's not I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. He said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. He said, well, I feel weak. Sometimes when I feel weak, some of the greatest things happen. Serious. It's okay. It's okay. Especially when you feel when you don't feel fully confident in yourself. I didn't say feel confident in God. Because when you're feeling not so confident in yourself and you have faith, you're going to say, but I trust this is fully you because I don't have anything to bring to the table. And God's like, this is a good place to be in because I've been waiting for it to be all of me. Just saying, it's like awesome. That's not a bad place to be. Matthew 7:26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. Abraham went out. Talk is talk and walk is walk. Abraham walked. He didn't just talk. And he says, those who and does not do them, he'll be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. You can't just claim you have faith and not do anything with it. You can. People do it all the time. They say, I believe, but they're non-believing believers. They don't act out what they believe. I believe God heals. Well, do you pray for people? Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my hand to heat up at the same time as an angel to appear, at the same time as the glory to come and the oil to flow for them to step right there. They didn't step right there. They, you know, like if I only heard and I hear a whisper and I hear this and then this happens, then I'm going to do this. Awesome. How about we just step out? Come on, if you say, man, there's a lion inside, he wants to get out, open the cage, open the door. The lion of the tribe of Judah is inside of you. Let him out. Let him out more. Have you ever seen a frustrated pet at the house? Come on, you got horses in Valley Center. Have you ever seen they need to run? Don't run them. See what happens. They're not happy there. God wants to be released. And he's looking for people who will say, I want to release you on the planet. And if you come with that childlike faith, that was one of the things. One of these superstars, man, I come in, I'm like, man, you're a legend. And his advice was, as we were eating lunch, he said, just come childlike all the time. And I see Teresa, we have flashlights. We're looking. I got gold on my fingertips. She's got it on her hand and oil coming out. And we're just childlike. We're like, awesome. And I want to stay childlike. I want to go praise God, the glory, miracles, stuff you just go, okay, God. And if you're here trying to figure it out, you're in trouble. That's a trouble kind of faith that you want everything figured out. You don't have to figure it all out. God likes us to be childlike. He likes us to be in a spot where we don't have it all down and under control. Are you with me? It's a good place to go, well, I don't really know all about that, but what do we do know? Let's agree on what we can agree, and let's do what we know he wants to do, and let's do those things. Let's act on the things he did tell us. He told us to preach the gospel, to heal the sick. Like, come on, let's get people saved. Let's change our world. Let's take that dominion. Let's subdue the earth. Let's go in and change the whole political system by putting born-again Christians in there. Let's get them all born again so that there's nobody that's going to be corrupt. Let's tell our kids that they can go in and do great and mighty things and release it with our mouths. So they're already like, I can handle this thing. In James 2:17, he says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. We don't need dead faith. We need active faith. Abraham had active faith. Abraham had this faith. Disobedience kills faith. You know, the devil told Eve, he said, the serpent in Genesis 3:4, he said, you can eat this. You surely will not die. God said, you eat it, you die. He said, you will not die. They eat it. They're like, I didn't die. God must have been lying. No, disobedience might not kill you right now, but if you don't have the blood of Jesus, it'll kill you in the end. A death worse than physical death. And I'll tell you right now, disobedient act, you could disobey. You guys could sin today and God will still forgive you because his mercy is new every day. You can come to the cross, but it'll kill your faith. You start walking in disobedience and your faith level is going to go to the ground. So obedience, every time you do an act of obedience, it builds your faith and disobedience kills your faith. So let's do more acts of obedience and walk in a greater measure of faith. You see what I'm saying? Some people go, well, that person had sin in their life and they still did these things, so I don't want to do the things. It's like, really? Are you serious? So what are we supposed to do then? Let's shoot all donkeys if they didn't carry in. Is that what we're doing? Because it's really not about the donkey. It's about Jesus who rode in on the donkey. I'm not judging donkeys. I just want to judge the one who rode on the donkey. He's perfect. He's beautiful. He's magnificent. He's the author. He's the finisher. And he rides in on all of us. Aw, we're all imperfect. That person's not right. We're all imperfect. Don't be shooting donkeys. Let's praise the one who rides in on the donkey. And man, he rides so good on you. You're like, I think that was left-handed. I don't know. That's all we get. We're ambassadors. He's in us. We're the clay, but he's that precious that's inside of it. He's the one. Paul, by the ends, didn't just say, I'm the least of the apostles. He said, I'm the chief sinner, because the more he walked and the more mature he got, the more he realized that all the good was God and not him. Now, I'm not saying we don't have a responsibility in this thing, because we have a lot of choices. I'm saying choose all the right choices and walk in obedience and walk in a high measure of faith. Engage your mind. You can engage it where you have the mind of Christ. You're transformed. You're more and more like Jesus. I'm just saying, like, when we start picking off and focusing on the wrong thing, we get messed up. Are you with me? And Sarah, number 5, Sarah had this God-trusting faith. By faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful. You know, I just want to attack this one thing real quick. How many know the story? Sarah laughed in unbelief. Do you guys know that? How many guys know Sarah laughed? Guys, just guys only hands. How many know the story? Sarah laughed. If you're a guy, put your hand up if you knew that story before I just told you. The angel came, said you're going to have a baby, and Sarah laughed. Guys, how many of you know that? If you knew that, put your hand up. How many of you know that Abraham laughed? How many guys know Abraham laughed? Put your hand up if you knew Abraham laughed. Not as many hands. I'm just saying, not trying to pick on Abe, but Sarah laughed, and when Sarah laughed, she said, I did not laugh, for she was afraid, in verse 15 of Genesis 18. Notice God didn't even rebuke her. He just corrected her. He said, no, but you did laugh. Hello? He just said, no, you did laugh. He didn't go, you shall blah, 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 and crawl on your belly. Woman, you laughed. I am the man of this house, and woman, you'll obey. You're like Sarah laughing at what I'm saying. Just saying, I don't know. I'm off this. Forget that. Boop, rewind. Probably she denied laughing because she wanted the baby. Don't you think? Even though it was hard. But how many know this? The chapter before, let's look at Abraham. Genesis 17, 17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He fell on his face. Ha, ha, ha. She just laughed. He fell on his face laughing. You can laugh. This wasn't a serious last service. Sorry. Let me do it again. Sarah laughed behind the tent. She laughed to herself. Abraham fell on his face laughing. What was the difference between the two? Because in one chapter, Abraham falls on his face, falls down laughing. Ha, we're going to have a baby. Yeah, right. Ha, ha, ha. God says you're going to have a baby. He falls down laughing. Then God comes a chapter later and says it again, and Abraham doesn't fall down. Why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. God spoke. He laughed. God spoke again. He didn't laugh the second time. He's saying, Sarah laughed. Are you with me? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You got it all the time, anywhere, any place. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Faith comes by hearing your own word when you quote the word. You can speak faith into yourself. Oh, why are you cast down, oh my soul? My God's good. My God healed before. Man, I'm having a financial crisis. My God came through. God, you came through in this time, this time, this time, this time. You're going to come through again. You did this, this, and this. You're going to come through again. Your word says this. My experience says this, but your word says this. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I remember one of my heroes, Tommy Barnett, he recorded his own voice on his cell phone, and he would go up his prayer mountain. And when he was discouraged, because he faced a lot of battles, like Abraham went through a lot of testing and trials, he'd play it and listen to himself, encouraging himself. You're a man of God. God's called you. And he'd preach to himself. He's like, oh. He'd come down off his prayer hike, you know. Woo, baby. You know, when he was like, oh, lifting his legs up the mountain to pray. Come on. We can do this thing. Abraham was out there. Abraham was probably so far, it was incredulous. Here's the word of the day. It means unwilling, unable to believe something. Incredulous, it means disbelieving, skeptical, unbelieving, distrustful, mistrusting, suspicious, doubtful, unconvincible, and cynical. This is like out here. He went from out here in chapter 17. Now in Hebrews 11, he's in this as this man of obedience. And are you with me? He's listed in the hall of faith and he fell on his face. How do you go from this epitome? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You can go, you can end up over here. Are you with me? And that doesn't even take, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. You can get your hands on the word. You can open your mouth. You can preach to yourself. The message of the gospel is no different. Think about it. Think about it. Jesus Christ forgave me. Me. Forgave me. And I'm adopted as his son. He's adopting me into his household. I'm going to live forever in eternity. I'm going to live and rule and reign in his government, in his kingdom that has no end. Me. Mom, 10 kids, single mom with 10 kids. All the stupid stuff I did. That's really kind of out on this side of things. Come on, that God forgave you and uses you. But we believe that and we come over here, right? Because by faith we believe. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And there's a deposit coming into you today. There's a deposit in this one last nugget. Abraham's faith was quite different than Sarah. And I was saying, Teresa and I, we're like in a lot of ways, but we're kind of different in some. Abraham's faith could have appeared extreme, adventurous, maybe even reckless at times. We're just going to go out. We're leaving everything. We don't even know where we're going. Come on, babe, get on the donkey. Let's go. She's like, where are we going? I don't know, but we're going. What are we doing? I don't know, but we're doing it. Come on, let's go. We're packing it all up. It's all on the donkey. We're out of here. And Sarah's with him. And but there was something. They had a covenant. They had a covenant. And you know that when you're in covenant, you make each other look better. When I married Teresa, she makes me look better. And when I married her, she looks better. And some of my strengths come on her, and some of her strengths come on me. And Sarah and Abraham came together. And that one who has that active, obedient faith, and then you take Sarah, who just believes, she trusted. If you take obedience and you marry it with trust, I trust in the one, I'll step across the chicken line. I'm the risk taker, but when I trust in the one, it takes it off of him, and their covenant made them stronger. Can I just tell you something that just lights me up? It's like, oh my goodness, 2 Corinthians 1:2. We have a guarantee better than a wedding ring. This wedding ring says, yeah, you're precious. I'm in covenant with you. This reminds me of this love I have in covenant. God gave us something even greater than a wedding ring. 2 Corinthians 1:22, it says, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Amplified says it this way. It's beautiful. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Here it is. 2:1, 2:2. Here we go. Here we are. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Amplified. He says, he has also appropriated and acknowledged us as his by putting his seal upon us and giving us his Holy Spirit in our hearts as the security, deposit, and guarantee of the fulfillment of his what? Oh, he's breathing on some promises. There's a breath coming on the earth from heaven, and he's breathing on promises. Would you stand with me? He's breathing on promises. There's promises that are being fulfilled. There's a breath coming from heaven. And I shared this last night at a meeting. I just saw it, even as 3 days ago Chuck Pierce prophesied. There's these swirls, these winds of heaven that have been in heaven for 8 years being held back, that God is releasing on the earth right now, and he's releasing them from heaven. And that mighty rushing wind coming from heaven, that mighty rushing wind coming from heaven sounds like Acts 2. That mighty rushing wind coming from heaven, 8 years been swirling, sounds like your prayers up there, sounds like your hope deferred didn't go anywhere. The prayers are there. They never fell to deaf ears. That word never came void. How about 8 years swirling, ready to come down the earth? How about the wind of God is coming? Well, I don't care about that. Well, how about that God's pouring out his spirit on all flesh? How about there's rain coming on the seeds of your life and on your prayers? How about there's something connecting on the earth right now? There is something connecting that God is breathing. And I think it's like that Ezekiel 37. And that breath, that wind that came from heaven brought that life. He can put the bones and the joints and he can put it together, but you can still be lacking something that's coming now. Would you just lift your hands where you are? Would you just receive faith right now? I pray you just take it, God, and just bring the substance now and deposit it. Just deposit it, Holy Spirit. Just deposit the substance. Connect the dots all over the room and take, and just, there was a substance that I was praying you would give each one, and it's different all over because they're different. But it's like this beautiful from heaven. Every one of you with your hands look like another side of this beautiful diamond, and all his graces and all that multifaceted grace is just coming down. God, just breathe on that multifaceted grace. Release a greater deposit of faith. Release them to walk in. Some of you already have it and you've had it, but be released to release it. And I pray for the deposit to increase, but I pray for a release of what's already in them. I pray that they would shine as those lights on this earth. I pray they'd be brilliant. I pray, God, that you would just use them and show off like a bride showing off her wedding ring. Show them off on this earth and draw people into your wedding feast. Draw people into your kingdom, oh God. Show them off, God, and just let them shine on this earth. I bless you. I bless your life. I bless the call that he's called you with. I bless that which seemed impossible, but with God is possible. It seems the impossible becomes possible with that substance. Release the substance that takes the impossible and makes it possible, God. Release that. And I thank you for it in a greater measure all over this room. And I just want you just to put your hands down for a second. And if you're here and you just say, I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I want to. It just says that if you know, you believe that Jesus died and it was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. If you believe the gospel, that you'll be saved. If all of you, all over the room, can we just say this together and just say, Father, I believe. All of you, just say, Father, I believe. And this day, I receive forgiveness. Now listen, that blood is the same as when you get saved. That blood that forgives, that he spilled, that Lamb of God, Jesus, what he did on the cross is just as good when you get saved as the sanctification for every day. So I just declare that 1 John 1:9, that even as if you confess your sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. Forgive you and cleanse you. Some of you have been forgiven, but you're getting lied to that you're not cleansed. So cleanse them and let them walk in a new measure of faith. Let them walk in a new that exploration and adventure. Let them walk in it. And I thank you for that substance all over this room. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Oh, amen. Just thank him for a second. Just say thank you, God. Thank you. I just see faces of your kids. I see faces. I see dreams coming to life. I see creativity. I see bank accounts and commerce of just things, businesses and ideas and creativities, inventions, patents. I just thank you, God, for all of it, all of it, all of it. Thank you. You're the author and the finisher. We love you and honor you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 38 minutes. Thank you for that 38 minutes of your time. I hope you got something good. Hey, bless you. Thank you, Jesus. There will be an altar team. If you still need prayer, there's a prophetic team. They'll prophesy over you. Come on up and get me.